Oil spikes on news. A pair of tankers were attacked in the Middle East. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Two tankers were attacked in the Gulf of Oman today. One of the ships carrying not crude oil but methanol was hit twice by assailants. Another tanker carried naphtha. Crews were rescued safely, but both ships were left adrift. It's not clear who did this or how the explosives were deployed. This has sharply driven up the price of oil, up 3.6% in European trading now. It's up 3.5% in New York trading, just under $53 a barrel for the benchmark West Texas Intermediate. One-fifth of the world supply of oil moves through that region. Iran's government denies responsibility. There's hope among some that the Federal Reserve will surprise the world by cutting interest rates next week and not wait until later in the summer or beyond. On Thursdays, we consult Diane Swonk, the chief economist at the tax and advisory firm Grant Thornton. Good morning.
Good morning.
So the guardians of interest rates at the Fed could wait until there is a clear and present danger, then pull the trigger then. Do you think the case has to be ironclad before they lower interest rates?
No, I think they're already there. I think they really made clear when they were in Chicago a little over a week ago, you heard Chairman Powell talking about the need to do whatever we have to do to offset the headwinds associated with the threat of trade and actual tariffs, the threat of a trade war and actual tariffs. And there really has been a shift within the Fed, a willingness to preemptively cut rates before the data turned south. December was a cautionary tale for them, where the data was all good, but sentiment shifted dramatically on them and almost triggered its own recession. And this is a, you know, sort of a 180 for the Fed.
So if they cut rates, you think midsummer, I hear July?
Well, certainly the markets think 80% chance it will happen in their July meeting, but that's 6 weeks away. They have a meeting next week and have a chance to control the narrative. And I think it's highly possible that they pull the trigger in June, control the narrative, and get out of the next 6 weeks of a news cycle, which can be painfully long in this environment.
Diane Swonk at Grant Thornton, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bayer is facing a growing number of lawsuits from people who allege that ingredients in the weed killer Roundup gave them cancer. Roundup is made by Monsanto, which is now owned by Bayer of Germany. Several Roundup cases have already been heard, one verdict of more than $2 billion. With money like that on the table, personal injury lawyers are unleashing quite an assault to sign up people who think they have a case. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer reports.
Maybe you've heard this pitch recently on late night TV.
If you used Roundup weed killer and were diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, call 7-
Or maybe you've seen similar ads online where personal injury lawyers urge people suffering from mesothelioma, cancers related to talcum powder, or complications caused by surgical mesh to call now because
you may be entitled to financial compensation. Contact the law office.
One of those ads got the attention of Nancy Gretzinger. Actually,
a friend called me and she goes, I just saw that an ad for mesh. You need to call them.
That was 2011. Gretzinger had had an operation to insert pelvic mesh. There were complications that ultimately led to several more surgeries and permanent injury. So she made the call. An intake operator for the Davis and Crump law firm in Gulfport, Mississippi, took her information. Gretzinger turned over her health records to a lawyer and kept in touch.
You know, each time I had a new surgery, they would want to know about that.
Nora Freeman Engstrom teaches law at Stanford. She says firms like Davis and Crump run the ads, pay the call centers, do the early legwork, and file the cases.
They are what we sometimes call referral mills.
Because typically big cases like Gretzinger's are bundled with thousands of others and turned over to a team of lawyers who take it from there.
This is a pretty well-oiled machine.
And says Beth Birch, a law professor at the University of Georgia, it can also be a money machine.
There's a whole tiered network of lawyers that can profit off of these cases.
If they win, lawyers take these cases on a contingency basis, but it can take years. Ray Panitin is a personal injury lawyer at Daniel & Associates in Houston.
Litigation's expensive. We take all that financial risk ourselves.
Gretzinger's case took 4 years to settle. She's agreed not to disclose the amount or what the lawyers got, but typically they end up with 30% or more. With paydays like that, the ads just keep coming, even though the number of huge product liability cases around things like asbestos and pesticides has declined steadily. I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
In our recent series, Brains and Losses, we explored aging and vulnerability to financial scams and what you and your loved ones can do about it. This is the kind of important, in-depth reporting that matters to you and to all of us at Marketplace. Your donations are what keeps it going. Please give today at marketplace.org, and thank you. Online pet supply store Chewy is getting ready to offer its stock to the outside world tomorrow. PetSmart bought Chewy in 2017 for about $3 billion. It's expected to be valued now at more than $8 billion. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams has more.
Sales of pet products in the U.S. bring in more than $50 billion a year, and those sales are driven in part by what Mintel analyst Olivia Ganaw calls pet humanization.
I used to always think that I was like the silly one that would treat my pet like a child, but now I'm seeing that everyone's doing that.
Ganaw says 32% of owners say they're spending more on their pets than last year, and Mintel's research shows...
Just because consumers might not be spending in other categories, that doesn't mean that they're not spending more for their pets.
In fact, the market for pet products has been growing at about 5% per year. That's according to David Sprinkle of market research firm Packaged Facts.
Most food and beverage packaged categories, for example, would kill for that growth rate, and they are actually unlikely to achieve it.
But Sprinkle says the pet supply industry still has a lot of room to grow, especially online. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
And yes, you can turn pea protein into all sorts of interesting shapes and textures. We're also covering today how the biggest of meat processors, Tyson Foods, today announced it's coming out with a line of meaty, meat-ish, meat-esque products made from the green pea legume. Tyson's stock is up 2.1% at the moment. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.